The Monty Show on Tuesday, March 20th. How the heck are you? I'm Monty. That's Jake. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
Nice job with the music today. I enjoy music. That's why we play it so often on the show. I enjoy the NBA. That's why we talk it so much. Kevin Love is back. Kyrie is not. How worried about Kyrie Irving are you? Richard Sherman's getting crushed on a contract I actually think isn't as bad as people are making it out to be. Justin Turner's hurt. Here's an odd question for a sports show to ask. Is there too much football in this country? There's a new league. We'll tell you all about that. Jordan Clarkson thinks there's large people that were bigger than dinosaurs. And Jake would like to take male birth control.
I didn't say that.
Jake is a huge fan of prophylactics, which is one of my favorite words of all time. Prophylactics. All right. I feel better.
Good start to the show today.
Awesome. Let's start with telling you, you should find us on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show is where you find us on the old tweet machine. Let's start talking NBA hoops, because I think there are a ton of stories today surrounding the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, they are clearly not the best team in the NBA, right? I think we can all agree on that. Yet, Kevin Love's return last night seems like it is leading the headlines. And I think he played really well. He did this weird fish-like backslide thing on the floor.
It was like a reverse worm almost.
It was kind of cool. But I think the best thing that Kevin Love did last night during the game was energize and activate LeBron James. I think this is a huge get for them. I know I've said that every day on this show, but I think this is a big deal for the Cavs. How important, Jake, is Kevin Love's return?
It's massive. I think LeBron's only been talking about it like every day since Kevin Love's been hurt, and I think it brings back another all-star to the lineup, and that's really what LeBron needs. He needs a guy that is got some, you know, some swagger, some, hey, I've been here and done this before, now let's go and try and win a title. I'm not saying they're title favorites. I mean, certainly I think, you know, you could use the word contender as it relates to the Cavs, but I don't even see him making it out of the East this year, but that's just me. You never know. It's LeBron James. So I think getting Kevin Love back can only help them.
Yeah, I certainly don't think they're the favorites in the East. If there was ever a year for the Raptors, this is the year for the Toronto Raptors, who we'll talk about in a minute. But I think this pushes them past. Now, if they keep playing this way, this pushes them past Boston.
Yeah.
Because the news today out of Boston with Kyrie Irving is not good. They don't know what's wrong with his knee. He's probably going to miss the upcoming road trip. He's looking for a second opinion. And I just don't see any way, shape, or form that the Boston Celtics are in a position to rush him back.
No, and I don't think it's smart to rush a player like Kyrie back. I think when you look at the way Kyrie Irving plays the game, his knees, obviously your knees are vital to playing basketball, but the way Kyrie plays the game, he's cutting constantly. He's using his legs in a way that is so, you know, almost violent in a way that I think I wouldn't be rushing him back. I would let him heal, and whatever happens, happens. I think you are already not going to win the title once Hayward went out on the first night of the year, and once Marcus, you know, got kind of injured, and
Marcus Smart,
you know. So I just think it hasn't panned out this year. Next year is a different story, but I think this year is over.
I think the East is, as deep as it looks in the standings, I think the East is very shallow. I don't think, and I'm not breaking ground, I don't think there's a very many great teams in the East. I think Toronto is a legitimate championship title contending team because they've got two superstars and a fabulous cast of supporting players that I think helps them a lot. But if you look at Boston, no. Cleveland, no. Indiana, no. Washington, no. Although John Wall makes a huge difference when they get him back. Philly, not yet. I think Miami and Milwaukee are the interesting teams. What is wrong with the Milwaukee Bucks? Because they're much better on paper than they are playing the game of basketball. They fired Jason Kidd. They haven't gotten much better since they fired Jason Kidd. So it makes it look like he's really not the problem there. It's just an odd thing in Milwaukee. How good are they? They could easily, in my opinion, be the second best team in the East, but they're not.
Right, the eighth seed in the East right now, and I think it's just interesting because that team obviously is all about Giannis, and I think when it's all about one guy and then you have everybody else as role players, that puts you in an interesting situation, kind of like the situation LeBron was in earlier in the year before they overhauled the entire roster. Now, I'm not saying the Bucks are, you know, talent-wise are in the same position LeBron was, but I think the way they're built and set up is not long-term success. They can't get to this top end that I always refer to, that the Houston Rockets could get to, let's say, or that Toronto can get to, let's say. It can't just be Giannis and everybody else. And I think
they're terrible defensively. Yeah. Let's not sugarcoat things. They're terrible defensively, and it really hurts them. I look at their age. They are perfectly aged, but Jabari Parker, who's playing really good basketball right now, by the way, is always injured. He's had these catastrophic knee injuries, but now he's back. It looks like he's got his bounce. But you're trying to figure out who's Brandon Jennings, who they signed off the G League out of Japan, or out of China, excuse me. I look at Eric Bledsoe, who was a big mid-season acquisition that you essentially got from the Suns for nothing.
Yeah.
They're a nice package of players that I think really is an odd fit together. And I know that's probably saying a whole lot of nothing, but Jabari Parker's better than an 11-point-a-night guy. But he's not right now.
Yeah.
And if you look at Eric Bledsoe, he's probably the top of the market. But John Henson should be doing better for them. I look at some of these other guys, and I don't know what this team is. And I don't know how you fix and get them to where they're supposed to be, but I know that they're capable of beating the Toronto Raptors in a 1-8 matchup.
Yeah, and it's actually, for as once, odd as it would that be is. A great matchup, right? I mean, I we find ourselves sitting here talking about the oddity of them being an 8 seed. You think of the Bucks, and you think, well, that's a pretty solid team. I could see them being as high as a 4 seed, let's say, or I would presume that they'd be a 6 seed. But no, they're an 8 seed, which seems a little disappointing and a little low. So I think it'll be a great matchup. I don't know what DeMar and Kyle Lowry are going to do with Giannis. I'm not sure.
But it's Middleton, it's Giannis, it's Bledsoe, Henson, Snell,
but like Thon Maker. But like DeRozan and Kyle Lowry will cancel out, you know, guys like that. It's all about Giannis. If you can stop Giannis, you can stop the Bucks. It's that simple. The only thing you have to do to stop the Bucks is slow them down.
Yeah. And they miss Malcolm Brogdon right now, and he's supposed to be back in April. But I don't know. Jake, I think the East is very strange. All of this to say, I think it's pretty wide open. Toronto's clearly the best team right now. But I think now the Cleveland Cavaliers are the second best team in the East, especially if Kevin Love can give you double-doubles every night, which I think he's arguably the best defensive rebounder in basketball. Because I think that's very hard to put your finger on. But he attacks the basketball on the defensive end. I think he's a really good three-point shooter who's capable of being one of the best in basketball. And I think LeBron James enjoys playing with him and believes in him.
Yeah.
That's what makes him so valuable. They're going to have to figure out how to get Larry Nance Jr. back and healthy. And if they do that and they have some time for Kevin Love and Larry Nance to play together, because that's something that not a lot of people think about, is that Larry Nance and Kevin Love are a perfect duo, because Larry Nance is an unrefined talent as an offensive player, really good defensive player. He's a rim runner, essentially, is what he is, which means he runs from one rim on defense to the other offensive rim, can play the mid-game a little bit. He's going to jump over your head, but he works really hard. And if you throw him lobs, he's going to dunk him down. He's a really good outlet passer and a decent defender. Kevin Love is everything that Larry Nance is not, in that he shoots really well. He is consistent. Larry Nance is not. He is refined. Larry Nance is not. They make a really nice tandem, and I think they make Cleveland very dangerous.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the biggest plus of that relationship and that combo is the fact that when you're an unrefined player, you play with this recklessness of sorts. I'm not saying that Nance is a dangerous player, but he throws his body around. He's a young guy who knows he can jump out of the gym, and he knows he can beat you by just being physical with you.
Yeah.
Whereas Kevin Love is a trusted player for LeBron James, who's going to find the corner three, who's going to stand on top when LeBron drives from the opposite wing and kicks it to him. So I think Kevin Love coming back can only help you. It gives LeBron James options, and it gives him trusted options, which is something he hasn't had this year.
It's fascinating. I love the East. It's not nearly as fascinating as the West.
Of course not. It's the West.
The Western Conference, I think it's everything that we hoped it would be. And some of the storylines coming out of the West continue to be who that best team in the West is. Because right now it's the Houston Rockets and it's not close. But everybody wants to downgrade them in the postseason. And I'm not one of those guys.
Are the Golden State Warriors underdogs at this point?
I think they might be a little bit, as odd as that is. Mm-hmm. I think the Golden State Warriors are perceived as wounded. And now that you have, Draymond is just such an interesting cat. He got kneed hard in the groin.
Funny how that comes around.
Yeah, well, and he is known as a prodigious kicker of nuts. And he gets kneed hard in the groin last night, and all anybody wants to talk about is his knobby elbow, and he's going to miss time. It looks like they're going to get Steph back on Friday. I mean, they're a calamity of errors. Meanwhile, here come the Portland Trail Blazers. All of a sudden, the Oklahoma City Thunder have figured all of their problems out, and they're playing unbelievable basketball by sheer will, and somehow Corey Brewer's gone in there and just lit the world on fire. It's really interesting out West, and we're not even talking about the fact that you have a Jazz team who's arguably playing the best basketball in the NBA.
I think they're going to get the fifth seed. I really do.
The Jazz.
And I think that would just be fascinating. The matchup they would get would be incredible.
It'd be Oklahoma City and the Jazz, the 4-5 matchup. San Antonio doesn't strike me as a team that's incredibly prepared for the postseason.
Well, let's be honest about what San Antonio is. I mean, they had a nice little game the other night, but they're not going to be some huge test in the postseason.
Age is going to eventually catch up with them.
They're going to be a 6 or 7 seed that's really an 8 seed going out. So I think whoever gets that, that's a cakewalk for a strong matchup, and I would expect whoever gets them, and I swear if they fall to like the 7 seed and the Warriors get them, the Warriors better sweep them and take the rest. You know what I mean?
Well, you're a Dubs guy, so.
But I'm just saying, even like
that'd make me nervous.
If the Rockets get the Spurs, let's say, the Rockets should win that series going away in 4 games. That's it. We'll see in round 2.
How are the Nuggets losers of 3 of 4? Their only win is against lowly Detroit. They've lost to the Lakers, the Grizzlies, the Heat. They lost to the Heat 149-141.
Yeah.
And now, tomorrow, they go to Chicago, and who knows how they're going to do on this trip against the Bulls. I mean, if this group of guys, who I think is a misfit, absolute misfits in Denver, ever figure it out, which they won't because I'm not a big believer in Mike Malone, the head coach. I think he's also not the right guy for that group. Mike's a great lead assistant. He's not a head coach. I think they're done. I think they're in a tailspin. And I think it's going to be very difficult for them to make up 2 games on Minnesota. They're 2 games off the eighth spot, tied with the Clippers, 18 and a half back of the Rockets in the West. I think Denver's done.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And I think right now the 8 teams that are in the spots in the West are the 8 teams that we're going to see go to the postseason. And if it ended today, it'd be Minnesota and Houston in the 1-8 matchup.
I mean, that is an interesting matchup. I think this is – Karl Anthony Towns is a nightmare matchup, whoever you put him up against. I mean, he's not – who do the Rockets have that are really going to check?
Clint Capella.
Yeah, but –
which is going to be really
honest.
Difficult.
That's going to be really honest for Clint Capella. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is just – it's not a good matchup for the Rockets.
Well, think about Golden State and New Orleans. Is that a good matchup for Golden State? No, the answer is no,
Anthony's
it's not.
Anthony Davis is not a good matchup for anybody.
Portland, Utah would be unbelievable.
That would be my go-to series in round
the matchup one. Of the first round. And then OKC and San Antonio, OKC would run away from them.
Yeah.
But I think the West is must-watch TV on a nightly basis.
It is.
I really do.
It is. And I think when you look at – I think the Blazers really – have made a name for themselves in the last 20 games or so here. I mean, it's just amazing what they've been able to do. And somehow the Jazz have flown under the radar this entire time, putting together essentially the same streak that the Blazers put together.
Yeah.
And so I just think heading into the playoffs, you're seeing a lot of great teams go into the playoffs hot. They're playing great basketball. And I think that can only lend itself to an amazing playoff atmosphere in great basketball in the postseason.
Yeah. Before we switch gears and get to Richard Sherman's contract, Jordan Clarkson said something the other day that has just burned up the internet. Jordan Clarkson says he believes in dinosaurs, but he believes that dinosaurs were pets of massive and huge human beings.
Huge.
So essentially, these huge dinosaurs were owned as pets by huge human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say about that.
He's got one hell of a drug dealer.
Okay, wow. Really? I don't know that I would call Jordan Clarkson a user of hallucinogenics.
I'm not really sure where he came up with this, but this is worse than Kyrie and the flat earth thing. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Is it, though?
It is.
Is it, though?
It is. There's literally no science for either argument. At least the flat earthers have a couple of decent theories. This dinosaur thing is 100% unfounded and just garbage, for a better word.
They're saying that these things, you know, weigh hundreds of thousands of pounds. We're talking about hundreds of millions of years ago, by the way. I don't know.
The question above all to defeat this theory of Jordan Clarkson's is, okay, well, we have dinosaur bones. That's well documented, right? Where are the bones of the owners that own the dinosaurs?
Correct.
You know, like, where are those at?
And by the way, what were those leashes like?
Yeah, you know. Are we talking about, I don't know. Yeah. It's just way, it's weird, dude.
Yeah,
weird.
I don't know.
Why does LeBron get these kind of guys?
Who thinks of this stuff? This is my question. Who thinks of this stuff? Kyrie Irving, who thinks of flat earth stuff? Okay, well, there's millions of people who think the earth is flat.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. We never went to the moon. All right, if that's your slice of pie, knock yourself out. Yeah. I get it. This story about dinosaurs being pets of massive human beings just makes zero sense. There's zero evidence. Like, has anybody ever seen a picture? Has anybody theorized? Has anybody found fossils or drawings or...
There's, like, not even a hint of that in history. Like, nothing. Nothing to point to. Nothing to go off of. This is Jordan Clarkson just slapping something on the wall and having fun with it.
Yeah, and I've been reading a ton about these things, and there's just no way that... 104 metric ton... That's how 104 metric tons is what, I mean, do you realize? Anyway. I just thought it was fascinating. And my question is, where do you come up with this stuff? Because he says he has no proof. It's just, he just believes it. That's what he said.
Okay, well, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Well, Richard Sherman has an opinion as well. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. There you will find a story linked talking about Richard Sherman. And he was introduced to the San Francisco media today, and he talked a lot about his contract. And there's a lot of people questioning whether Richard Sherman damaged himself and players by negotiating his own contract. I don't think every guy needs to have an agent. I think 99.9% of guys need to have an agent. Richard Sherman is really intelligent. Richard Sherman is smart. Richard Sherman is sharp. And Richard Sherman is a hell of a football player. He was represented by a guy named Ben Dogra, who's one of the biggest agents in football. He decided he didn't need to be represented by an agent, and he negotiated himself a contract that is 3 years long and has a maximum value of $39.15 million. Oh, what's wrong with that? Well, the problem is there's really only, if he hits the top of the mountain, it's only $9 million guaranteed if he's healthy. There's not a lot of money there. And people are kind of freaking out about that. And Richard Sherman, his explanation is, look, I had no money guaranteed in Seattle this coming year. So I renegotiated a deal with the 49ers. They got me a bunch of guaranteed money, and it's my business, so, you know, let me be me. And I don't disagree with that, but this is a guy that is potentially the best cover corner in the game. When he's healthy, I'm not even sure that's arguable. But he hasn't been healthy, and he's been fighting a lot of injuries. He's got a 2018 base salary of $2 million, and $2 million more that he can earn if he's on the 46-man roster every week, which essentially means he's active for the game. And he gets a roster bonus each week of $125,000. Just that gets him $9 million, something only 18 other cornerbacks average on a per-year basis. He can earn up to $4 million more in performance incentives, $1 million for playing 90% of the defensive snaps. 90%. That's a ton.
It's a figure he's met.
That's one concussion away from not meeting that bonus. He, 94% historically on average.
Yeah.
He plays 94% of the snaps. One concussion, and you're not getting that $1 million. He makes $1 million for making the Pro Bowl. Okay, I can see that. He's a Pro Bowler for sure. $2 million for making the AP All-Pro team. I think that's going to be a tough mountain. Coming off of double Achilles surgery, I think that's going to be difficult. I don't know. We'll see. Is he healthy?
You know what I like about this the most, though? If I had to pick something I really like, I like the fact that he's betting on himself. I can respect a guy who said, you know what, I don't feel like I need an agent. Okay, that's kind of questionable. Okay, well, now we see the contract. And in Sherman's defense as well, it's my business, and that's the contract I negotiated.
Yeah.
And so I have respect for that, and I also have respect for somebody betting on himself and saying, look, yeah, I might be turning 30 this year, but, you know, I'm good to go. I'm ready. I can hit that 90% of snaps played mark.
Coming off of double Achilles surgery.
Yeah, I mean, I have my personal doubts. I don't know that I don't know that he's going to play 85%.
He gets a $2 million bonus just for passing a physical.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. He got a $3 million signing bonus. That's the only thing that's fully guaranteed. Passes a physical, he gets $2 million more. I mean, I wouldn't, if I was the NFL Players Association, I wouldn't love this contract.
Right.
I wouldn't. But for every one of these contracts, you have a Kirk Cousins 100% guaranteed contract. So which one does more damage to the game? Because I would argue contracts like Kirk Cousins, 100% guaranteed, I think that's a big problem because quarterbacks get hurt week in and week out in this league. Teams are worse off offering fully guaranteed contracts. For the team, Richard Sherman's contract is great. For Richard Sherman, he believes in himself. So potentially it's great. I would argue that the fully guaranteed contract is worse for the NFL than Richard Sherman's deal.
Yeah, I would agree with you because I think once one player gets a fully guaranteed contract, more players are going to want fully guaranteed contracts.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is coming.
Well, there's a bunch of dudes coming.
Yeah.
And I think those players are going to say, okay, well, if Kirk Cousins got X, then I need to get Y. And it's that simple, and I won't sign until I get it.
Because I think everybody knows Aaron Rodgers is getting a fully guaranteed contract. He is... By most accounts, now he hasn't been healthy, and I think that's a big deal. By most accounts, Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins.
Agreed.
And there's very few people who would take Kirk Cousins over Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
Well, of course. Are the Green Bay Packers the type of organization that hands out guaranteed contracts, fully guaranteed contracts?
No, but I think they're not. But I think on the other side of that, Aaron Rodgers has, in a sense, earned that right to bargain that kind of a deal with them.
Sure.
You know, sure, I would agree with that. Behind Favre. He's done his time. And as far as injury,
he's won him a lot of games.
I mean, the collarbone thing last season was very questionable. That hit was very scrutinized. You know, you were not a fan of it. I said it's a football play. He finished him. I don't know. What you can say about the hit what you want. At the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers has to stay healthy for them to be successful.
Their season ended when Aaron Rodgers' season ended.
100%.
Right?
100%.
I'm not giving him a fully guaranteed contract. I'm just not doing that.
So you're going to give him guaranteed money plus an incentive to be healthy.
I'll pay him a bonus for every game he plays, but I'm not giving quarterbacks a fully guaranteed contract. They're going to miss time.
So if you have, I agree with you, but so if you have that mentality, then how does a cornerback, let's say, or a defensive end, or anybody else that's not a quarterback, get that kind of a contract?
In football, I just wouldn't do it. In baseball, I think you can do it. In the NBA, I think you can do it. Right? But I also think not every contract should be fully guaranteed.
100%.
Okay, agree. Albert Pujols is currently anchoring the Angels in mediocrity. I can think of, 100 bad contracts in the NBA where guys are not living up to it. I'm just telling you, quarterbacks get hurt too much. Kirk Cousins has done nothing to get one of the truly fully guaranteed
contracts. The groundbreaking contract.
I don't know why they did it. I understand why the 49ers did it. I understand why Richard Sherman did it. I don't know why the Vikings did it. Because maybe that was the cost of getting Kirk Cousins. I think I'd rather not have Kirk Cousins.
Could you argue that's the cost of a Super Bowl?
Kirk Cousins isn't going to win Minnesota a Super Bowl.
If you
tell me that Kirk Cousins, if you say, okay, look, I've seen it, Kirk Cousins is going to win you a Super Bowl if you give him a fully guaranteed contract. Okay, I would do it.
Sure.
But there's no way to guarantee that. Look at Wentz. They go on and win the Super Bowl without the thought to be NFL MVP at the time he goes down.
Right.
And another guy, Foles steps in there and everything's good. Well, Foles hasn't gotten a fully guaranteed contract, right? Like, no, you'd never do that.
Right.
I guess my answer is it's guy to guy. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, I'm going to fully guarantee his contract. But maybe you guys want to invest in some offensive linemen. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm a talk show host. I'm not an NFL GM.
Yeah.
But maybe you want to invest in some offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Just saying. There's just a lot into the equation. And the Minnesota Vikings are a really good football team. Maybe Kirk Cousins is the glue that puts it all together.
Well, I gotta think that they feel as though Kirk Cousins is the last piece that they need to push them over the top. I mean, I gotta think that, because if you look at last year, they had so much issue with quarterback last year. So many different guys playing, so many different schemes you had to run, essentially, to fit into each quarterback style of play. I gotta think they were looking for some consistency at quarterback. And by the way, he's not half bad at playing the game either.
No.
So
here's a question for you. Is there too much football right now? A new league was announced today, and it is kind of crazy. It is called the Alliance of American Football, and it is not a direct competitor of the NFL. More to the point, it's a direct competitor of the XFL. But the Alliance for American Football will not launch until 2019, February 9th, 2019.
Yeah.
Less than a year. The XFL launches in 2020. Do we need a third football league? Let me ask you this. Do we need a spring football league that takes us from the end of the Super Bowl to, let's say, a week before training camp? Do we need that? Is there too much football?
I think when you add it to college football and everything that goes into that, yeah, I think you could be potentially getting to a point where there is too much football. I mean, I understand that football is America's game, essentially, at this point. Everybody can understand football and get down with it. But I'm the guy who says, look, at some point, I'm turning football off. I'm not a football fanatic. It's that simple. There are other games that I enjoy as well. And so when I think about, from the standpoint of what the NFL needs to keep surviving, I think this could be a great opportunity for the NFL. The NFL is one of the only leagues that doesn't have a feeder system of really any kind. I mean, yeah, you can say college football is the feeder system, but in my opinion, college football is corrupt, just like college basketball is, and at some point, that feeder system's going to go away. You need a real, you need the AAA of NFL football.
Well, the Alliance of American Football is going to feature 8 50-man teams playing a 10-game schedule starting February 9th. That's the Saturday after next year's Super Bowl. Funding for the league comes from heavy hitters, a guy named Peter Thiel, his founders fund, Barstool Sports Investors, the Chernin Group, former Viking pass rusher Jared Allen, and many, many others. The game will be broadcast on CBS for the opening weekend and their championship game, and others will be broadcast on the CBS Sports Network. The league is hoping, here's the big part, the league is hoping to draw talent from a wealth of high-level college players who don't make the National Football League. Teams will have the right to draft players who played college football in their local market, similar to the territorial pick system that existed in the early days of the NBA. I love that idea.
So what does that say, though? I think that says, okay, well, what we're doing is we're creating our own product, right? Because this is a completely separate entity of the NFL.
Right, and this is Dick Ebersol's son, Charlie Ebersol. So there's big names behind it. And I, by the way, I think that absolutely matters.
It does matter because it speaks to quality and reputation.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it.
And yes, that's
That's one of the things the XFL really struggled with in its short time on TV.
Well, they struggled with credibility.
Exactly.
So this league, the Alliance of American Football, will have Dick Ebersol. We'll have Troy Polamalu and Hines Ward along with Justin
Those
Tuck.
Those are big names.
They're all going to be involved in player development, league ops,
so
things
right
of that
there,
nature.
Before you continue, what does that say? Okay, we're going to have a high level of experience from
the
NFL.
We're going to play good football.
We're going to play good football, and we're going to develop guys into good football players who were not good enough to make it in the NFL draft. And what this says to me is, okay, well, what they're essentially saying is, we're going to take your garbage and turn it into gold, and these guys are going to get into the NFL at some point.
Here's a couple of other things. Hall of Famer Bill Polian will oversee the league. So again, more credibility. There will be no kickoffs or extra points. Each team after a score will start on the 25-yard line. Teams that want to try an onside kick will instead get one play from their 35-yard line to gain 10 yards and keep possession of the ball.
I like that.
And if they don't, the other team gets possession right where it was.
What do you do with kickers that aren't drafted?
They don't play in the league, I don't think. I mean, because you have punters, obviously. But, you know, I think this is a good idea. This is doing football right. This isn't the XFL with cheerleaders and cleavage and porn and professional wrestling.
And I think the second coming of the XFL, they were going to get rid of that side of the original version.
I don't think the XFL ever makes it back now.
Yeah.
Because if Vince McMahon was smart, he'd get in bed with the Alliance of American Football folks and pool their funding and try to make, try to make a go of a spring football league. And it doesn't have to be a competitor to the National Football League.
Well, I don't know why you would want to compete with the NFL. Why not work with the NFL in a way? I'm not saying to partner up with the NFL.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is, instead of running perpendicular, let's run parallel. Let's go with the NFL on some things so that they like us, so that they approve of what we're doing on some level. They don't need the NFL to be their enemy or their competitor. That they need the NFL to be a place where guys in this league can leave and go to the NFL. That's what they need it to be.
And this is going to be a league that's going to focus on safety, obviously taking out kickoffs, and which I think
I like.
Is a great idea. They're going to have a much shorter play clock, which I think is the absolute right way to go with that. You know, I just think it's one of those things where you need a league that can really showcase talent that's good enough to play in the NFL. And if you're not good enough to play in the NFL, you can still play football. This is a league where Johnny Manziel and Colin Kaepernick belong. If they truly believe they're good enough to play in the NFL, go play in the Alliance of American Football League.
Yeah.
Like, my guess is a lot of that type of guy will be there.
I think the benefit for the NFL, if this football league gets off the ground and is successful in its first season, I think the benefit is, you know, the NFL can take notes on what viewership levels are based on the way these guys play the game. So obviously no kickoffs, right? That would be a big time change for the NFL. No field goals. That would be a huge change for the NFL, right? Like that
yeah.
taking kickers out of the NFL would be a massive change. Taking the onside kick out of the game would be a big change. So I think if you're the NFL, you like this a lot, and I think you have to pay close attention to viewership numbers to see, okay, well, we know that our viewership is going down, down, down. What are we going to do to make that go up? They need to figure it out.
The other thing that I think is interesting is this idea that they are going to really be fan-friendly. They're going to have a lot of interaction with the fans, and they're going to stream all of their games for free.
Well, we've had this conversation before.
It's absolutely the right thing to do.
And I think the interesting thing is they're going to stream for free.
For free.
In the first season, that's for free. I think if it ever gets off the ground and ever becomes a household name, if you will, across the country, that turns into a charge, I think. But it's smart.
Well, what it turns into is a streaming deal with, again, YouTube, Google, you know,
a revenue generator.
Somebody, yeah, somebody will stream that at a cost. But you've got this deal where your game is going to, your championship game and your inaugural game is going to air on CBS.
Which is outstanding, in my opinion.
Big CBS, and then CBS Sports Network's going to air a game of the week. So, I mean, you're doing it the right way. Now let's see what cities do you put these teams in. That's what'll be really interesting.
Well, you know it's going to be major market. Or maybe on the other side of that, you could put it in small markets and try and grow it that way. I mean, if you don't want to compete with the NFL, I guess you stay out of major markets, right?
I would guess so, yeah. I would guess so.
Do you go to the alternate town, maybe? I don't know. I don't know what you do.
Oh, man. Another package has exploded in Austin. 545, rather, on Tuesday, March 20th. And at least one person was injured Tuesday night in a reported explosion in South Austin. Officials from the Austin Travis County EMS are telling people to stay inside, and they believe that this explosion is connected with a string of recent bombings throughout Texas. Two packages, one that exploded, one that didn't today, at a FedEx facility in San Antonio. This is getting nutty in Texas. This is absolutely getting crazy.
Well, I think this is the ultimate, we have no recourse for this guy. And they really don't. Yeah. I mean, this guy truly, and I hate saying this, but this guy's going to have to make a mistake to get caught.
Yeah.
If he keeps, you know, throwing a perfect game, essentially, they're not going to catch him.
And the hard part of this is that he's doing it different ways. So the FedEx thing today was different, right? That was two packages sent through a FedEx sort facility. One exploded, one did not. The one before that was a tripwire bomb. The ones before that were stoop packages put on stoops. Two black men are dead. Two white men are dead. A Latino woman is dead.
I mean, it's clearly not a racial thing.
It is a random, it's absolutely random. And it's terrifying.
Well, I think what's interesting is when this whole thing started, you know, CNN was not talking about how, you know, this guy's sophisticated and his knowledge is deep. But as soon as the tripwire comes in, his knowledge is deep.
Yeah.
What is remarkable is I don't think you can measure this guy's quantity of knowledge, because clearly he's skilled. He understands. I'm not just talking about bomb making. I'm talking about strategy, understanding. What kind of brain and mindset does it take to say, okay, I'm going to make this bomb and I'm going to put it in a package with a regular label on it, just like any other package, and I'm going to run it through a, what was it, a FedEx or a UPS plant?
A FedEx plant. Yeah. That they've linked to the Austin bombings.
Yeah, and I'm going to blow this up in a random way so that they can't stop me. It's not a pattern. It just is happening. There's nothing they're going to be able to do about it.
Do you live scared?
You can't live scared.
Do you take a second look at every... If you're in Austin, Texas...
100% you do.
And now, if you're anywhere in Texas, I think you take a second look at every package on your stoop, mm-hmm. on your front porch, whether you ordered Amazon or not. I mean, how do
you
not?
I think this just speaks to, you know, people having to really take the initiative and secure your house. Understand that if you had a security camera, you can see, well, what exactly happened here.
Yeah.
Did OnTrack drop off the package, or did Bomber X from wherever drop off the package?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and they're asking for, there's a huge reward in Texas for this. We're over six figures now. They're asking for everybody's surveillance video, but this is terrifying. And I didn't mean to completely derail us. But
I think it's a relevant topic, because I think It's so funny that this is happening in Texas. What has Texas been? Texas has been the J.J. Watt show, right? He's advocated for all this stuff. He's won awards.
The hurricane relief effort.
It's so funny. So
Man of the Year,
When I think about why somebody would do this in Texas, I can only help, I can only think that he's doing it because he's trying to prove a point that nobody's safe. I don't know why else he would be doing it.
Well, trying to rationalize the irrational.
It's impossible. There's no way. It's just impossible.
I mean, this is amazing. The terror. I can't imagine anything like it. Well, the D.C. sniper.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're probably too young to remember the way that affected the country, but the D.C. sniper was this it. I mean, this was exactly what it was. And they made a mistake to get caught. And I think you're exactly right that that's probably what it takes to catch this mad bomber, is it's going to take a mistake by this guy. And you just hope that there's not more people dying by this. You just hope that somehow, some way, this guy gets caught today, tonight, right now.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody knows who this guy is. And this is what's always been fascinating to me. Like with the watching the Patty Hearst documentary on CNN.
Yeah.
The SLA, which was a terrorist organization based in Berkeley, but the SLA was not a secret. People knew who the members of the SLA were, and people were fostering them and helping them. And it makes you wonder. And don't romanticize Patty Hearst or the SLA. They murdered cops. I mean, people were dying at their hands, right? So it just is fascinating to me. I love this idea of vigilante justice with guys like the DC snipers, the package bomber, you know, the Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber.
Yeah.
But that's not the society we live in. I'd love to tell you that, ooh, I ran into him and so I shot him. That's not the society we live in. What has to happen is people that know what this guy is and who he is and what he's doing have to turn him in. You have to turn him in. That's why rewards work. If this was a $250,000 reward, this guy would get turned in. Because I guarantee you there's somebody out there who knows what he's doing and who he is.
And needs the money.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't need... $115,000. I think it's up to $115,000 right now. Who doesn't need that money? You know, like, seriously, think about that. Who doesn't need that money? Anyway, here nor there. Find us on Twitter, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. Let's finish the show today talking Major League Baseball because we talk a lot of NL West on this show because I think it is one of the most compelling divisions in baseball, but it's also got the most compelling storylines in baseball right now. Justin Turner looks like he's out week to weeks with a broken wrist. He got hit by a pitch.
Gnarly.
Not going to require surgery. Will need a brace for a few days, they say. Who knows what that means. But today they also had an issue where Bellinger fouled a ball off his foot. He left the game in the fourth inning. This goes to speak to my theory that the Dodgers are a very, very fragile ball club right now. They do not have a lot of room for error because their pitching, in my opinion, is not deep. I think their pitching is a little suspect. And I think that division's wide open right now. What are your thoughts on Justin Turner and the depth the Dodgers have?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think the Dodgers are just being... It's showing that they're not a deep club, and it's showing that they need to go out and acquire. I'm not saying they need to go out and acquire more talent just for the sake of getting more talent. They don't need to go and get the best guy. They need to go and get guys.
They should have gotten Neil Walker.
They should have, and that's a mistake, and they're not going to be able to right that mistake by getting another Neil Walker.
He's a Yankee. Yeah.
You know, so that ship has long sailed. But my point here is that you got to go out and get. You got to put yourself in the position that the Cubs are in. The Cubs are in a position where they can lose. You know, they can lose, you know, name anybody you want. They can lose a guy, and they can replace him right now.
You just replaced Justin Turner with Chase Utley.
Good luck. Chase Utley's washed up at this point. He's at the very end of his career.
That's what they did with him. And their bench is, you know, Kike Hernandez, Matt Kemp, Trace Thompson. You know, you're looking at Austin Barnes. is your backup catcher.
It's not good.
Utility infielder.
Not, that's not World Series caliber.
It's not. Especially when Wood, Maeda, Hill, and Ryu make up the bottom four in your rotation with Clayton Kershaw on top of that. And it's all good that you got Kenley Jansen.
They have a lot of front runner names on their roster, and I think that takes them far. And look, let's be honest. They've had a lot of success lately. Yeah, they didn't win the World Series against the Astros. I get it. But they got to the World Series with a very similar lineup that they have right now. So, yeah, they're not deep, but they're still a really good ball club. The point here is that I don't. They're not ready for a war of attrition, and that's what the what the baseball season is, a war of attrition. You're going to play 162 games, and Justin Turner's probably going to miss 30 of those at this point.
Yeah.
So and I don't know how you're going to deal with it.
The other question that I think has to be asked is, what do you do when you have a guy like Justin Turner who breaks a bone in his wrist or whatever this is, because we don't know exactly what this is.
Yeah.
But what exactly do you do when he comes back and he's not able to drive the ball the way he had because of this wrist issue? If I'm the LA Dodgers, I don't put a bat in his hand until he's 100%. Because I need Justin Turner to be, you know, a 450 on base and slug me 500.
Yeah.
That's what I need. You know, I don't need a minor leaguer. I don't need, again, Chase Utley playing every day at second base. I don't need that. You know, and that to me is one of the biggest questions, is what do you do if you're the LA Dodgers? Because they have a decent farm system. They don't have a whole lot in the system, though, that can replace a guy like Bellinger. What do you, if Bellinger's hurt and he's out for any amount of time, what do you do? The answer is I don't know. Because now all the free agents are signed. The only guy that's really still hanging out there in the wind is Greg Holland. You know, because Cobb signed with Baltimore today. That really makes it difficult because there's not a whole lot of established talent out there. So I'll be interested to see what the Dodgers do. How do you now come a little closer to my side when I say that the NL West is going to be the Wild West? Because I think it's wide open.
Oh, I agree with you that it is the Wild West, but I also will say that the Dodgers are, they may not be on top right now with the couple injuries they've picked up, but they're still the favorite, in my opinion. They're the favorite until they get knocked off. I mean, yeah, the Giants are coming, but the Diamondbacks, we were talking about this today, the Rockies aren't going to be anything. The Diamondbacks are going to be very average. They're not going to do this year what they did last year, and the Padres are still building. I mean, yeah, they have Hosmer and Will Myers, but it's not like they have grade A pitching.
Yeah.
You know, their defense is going to be suspect at times. So I just think the Dodgers are the NL West until the Giants can make enough noise to overtake them. And I'm not saying they're not capable of that, but you got to go and do it.
Yeah, I love what the Padres have done. I love what the Giants have done. And I don't like that the Dodgers did absolutely nothing, because I know that the Rockies are going to be average, and I don't think the Diamondbacks are going to be very good. Just looking at that team and looking at, again, starting pitching's a real issue for them, bullpen's a real issue for them, and I think consistent power day in and day out is going to be a real issue for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And there's no way to easily fix that problem, because the Diamondbacks are not big spenders. It's why JD Martinez, I thought, signed a pretty cheap deal in Boston that he was never going to get in Arizona.
Yeah, and I think now more than ever, it's looking like last year was, you know, lightning in a bottle for the Diamondbacks. That's really what, now looking back on it, and of course hindsight's 20/20, but now looking back on it, it seems as though that was a great acquisition to get JD. Pushed you as far as he could, and you lost out.
Excellent job getting him by Mike Kazin. Excellent job. But does Steven Souza get you 25 home runs?
Yeah, probably.
Does Steven Souza get you 30 home runs?
Mm.
Is Paul Goldschmidt the only guy that you're pretty sure can get you to 30 home runs?
Yeah.
I think so. So Peralta's not a 30. Peralta's a 15 home run guy.
Yeah.
Right? AJ Pollock, AJ could maybe hit you 20. Goldie can hit you 30, 35. I have no doubt about that. Jake Lamb's the real wild card here. Can he consistently hit left-handed pitching, and can he hit you 30 jacks?
Well, he better figure it out, because I got news for you, and I got news for Lamb, and I'm sure he knows this. There's a lot of quality left-handed pitching in the NL West. A lot of it.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by it. I the NL West is going to be a real. I love the Giants. I do. And again, I know they're not going to win anything, and they probably won't even contend for a playoff spot. But I'm telling you, the San Diego Padres are going to make people's lives very difficult because they've got just enough offense. Everybody in that lineup, whether it's Margot, Headley, Myers, obviously Hosmer, Galvis. Like Austin Hedges, I think, is going to have a breakout power year. I would not be surprised if he hits you 20 jacks. They've got guys who can leave the yard on you, and they've got just enough bullpen to make your life difficult. So I think that the Dodgers, okay. I think the Giants probably, in my mind, if you ask me right now today, I think the Giants should be the favorite to win that division. Right now, today, especially with this Turner news, I think the Giants should be favored to win that division.
How many games? Here's last question of this discussion, but how many games can the Dodgers afford to get behind the Giants right out of the gate here? 10 games?
I don't know that they will get behind the Giants. I don't think this is a 10-game lead division. This is not the Dodgers of last year.
Yeah.
When they had, you know, whatever it was, 12-game lead.
They were elite last year.
They're not elite now. And I know that Bellinger was having a huge spring. He was hitting balls out of the yard. And I still think the league comes back to them a little bit, to him specifically.
Yeah.
He's gonna have to find his way around. Sophomore year is really difficult in the major leagues for power hitters, especially guys that are one-dimensional power hitters like him. He's not Seager. Seager can do a lot of things with the bat when he's healthy. Bellinger's a one-trick pony right now. He's going to have to figure that out. But I don't think this is a division where you're going to see – a team have a 12-15 game lead. I'd be stunned if the San Francisco Giants were more than 5 games ahead or behind at any one point. That'd really surprise me. With Bumgarner, Cueto, and Samardzija, you really shouldn't be. And as well as Chris Stratton has pitched, Ty Block, I don't know. But as well as Chris Stratton has pitched, there's no reason to be that far behind the Dodgers.
But again, the Giants are one injury away from being a different club, just like the Dodgers are, in my opinion.
I don't know. Are they? Their lineup.
Pitching-wise, I think they are.
Well, if you lose a pitcher, I think you're in trouble. If you lose a pitcher, you're in trouble. I would agree with you on that. But that's everybody. That's the Cubs, for sure. That's the Nationals. Without Scherzer, what is the Nationals' rotation? Not nearly
decent.
As good.
Not nearly as good, but you still know? Decent.
But if you look at Belt, McCutchen, Posey, Longoria, Panic, Hunter Pence looks fantastic. Brandon Crawford looks really good. You know, and now, you know, you have good utility outfielders. I think that the Giants are in good shape. I do. So it's going to be fun. That's what I would say. I cannot wait to start the regular season. I cannot wait. Here's a question for you, Jake. How do you feel about male birth control? Why do you laugh?
I think it's a fascinating topic. So the reason this comes up is because there's a story out that, you know, this author, Stephanie Page, did a trial run, right? And what she essentially did was, is she drug the test group up with 100, 200, and 400 milligrams to see how it would affect men and their testosterone count. And essentially the idea is this drug that's 1,000 letters long, and I don't know how to say it, and it's still in testing, but this drug...
I don't know how to say
this it. This drug will suppress men's ability to produce testosterone. And what that does, obviously, is that limits your ability to reproduce. And so... the idea is that you can take this, it will suppress your ability to make testosterone, but you won't get any of the effects that a male would get with
right,
lack
so
of
you're
testosterone.
Right, so you're not going to build swimmers,
yeah.
And you're not going to lose muscle mass, and your hair's not going to fall out.
Well, okay, yeah, sure.
And you're still going to be able to, you know,
yeah,
hit balls deep is what you're saying. Sports analogies for sex work wonderfully. Anyway, point is, no. You want to know why? Because I am not a guy that believes that you should need birth control. I'm a guy who thinks, hey, if you're going to mess with my testosterone levels, it better be to pump them up, not lower them. We don't need male birth control. We have prophylactics, Jimmy hats, otherwise known as condoms, right? Like we have male birth control already. Nothing's 100%. I get that. But in this day and age, first of all, I don't know that you should be out, you know, putting notches on your belt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what about the married couple who's just not looking to have a baby yet? They're just not ready. Well, I think you have other ways around that. I think you have the pill, and I think you have condoms. I am not messing with my testosterone levels as a dude. I'm not doing it. Because once you start messing with the chemistry, man, I think you're taking a real chance.
I agree.
By the way, who's going to be the guinea pig for this? Is it going to be Vinny from the shore that's going to be like, yeah, sure, I'll do this, no problem? I don't think so. Like, what dude is going to be like, okay, wait, let me get this straight. This is a science project where you're going to lower my testosterone.
No, they're not lowering your testosterone. They're changing your ability to create testosterone.
So you're lowering my testosterone?
No.
Let me get this right. So you're telling me I'm going to take this pill, and I'm not going to be able to make as much testosterone. Little less hair on the chest, little less snow on the roof. You know, you get the idea what I'm saying? Yeah, F that, I'm out. Like, I'm not doing that.
Okay, well, like, then you don't have to test it.
Let me ask you this, stud. You take this little pill here. I take this. You know, Vinny takes the pill. I take this little pill, and well, all of a sudden, the flag doesn't go up the pole anymore. Then you're just going to tell me, oh, well, we'll have to reverse it. Nah, I don't think so.
I'm going to tell you to call Don.
Yeah, exactly. No. The answer's no. I'm not lowering my ability to create testosterone. I want more testosterone as a man. It's why I lift weights. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I take my zinc and my magnesium to... Now I'm stuck in this voice. I take my zinc and my magnesium to raise. I eat well. I work out. I'm active.
Right.
All of these things so that I can do the
thing.
When I want to do the thing, I can do the thing on command. I don't need Cialis or any of that other flag-raising stuff. You know what I'm saying? No blue pills or purple pills or nothing. Just boom, bada bing, and I'm home. Free in a home run. Anyway, no, I'm not doing that. I am not. I'm absolutely not lowering my testosterone level. Would you try this?
No.
Why are you breaking my balls over it?
Breaking your balls. I just think it's funny. It's funny.
Oh, my God. By the way, one last story before we let you go here on the Monty Show podcast. Another airline has made a mistake flying a pet dog around.
Right.
Some folks bought a 8-week-old puppy from a breeder in Virginia.
Dude.
They wanted to fly that puppy from Virginia to Boise. Well, it turns out they flew that puppy all over the country on accident, and it was 2 days late, and then they tried to give him the wrong dog. The airline was Delta. Eventually, the dog arrived, and everything was fine, but the dog spent 2 whole days straight in a crate. I mean, is there any apology? Is there any refund? Which Delta did issue a refund. I don't understand this. How difficult is it to fly a dog in a crate or a piece of luggage from point A to point B? Like, how hard is this?
It's not that hard.
Okay. We're off the testosterone.
Oh, my bad. It's not that hard.
It's not that difficult.
Sorry.
Right? Like, I don't understand what's going on with these airlines.
I don't know how airlines continue to mess this up. It's not rocket science, bro. It's not.
Would you ever fly your dog?
No.
I wouldn't. I love my dogs. My dogs are my kids. I mean, I truly, my dogs are family members. I love my guys, Rhino and Django. Those are my dudes. I'm not putting them on an airplane. If I can't drive them, and we do drive them. When we're in California, they always come with us. When we go back to Utah, they're always with us. Like, they're always with us, right? If they can't drive it, I will put them in a boarding house. We have a really good boarder here. Like, I have no problem with it. They'll stay with family. Like, I'm good with it. I'm not putting them on an airplane.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it because I think you're asking for trouble.
You are.
So, all right. Well, good. Glad we
have
this.
Like I said, I don't know how airlines mess this up. I agree. It's a risk to fly your dog.
What should the penalty be? Is it just a refund?
There should be. You should get a full refund, number one. Number two, you should get vouchers for you know, either two, like, yeah, you and your spouse, I think, would be fair.
To fly anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world you want, on us, there and back, to be clear.
Round trip.
Round trip. And then I think you need to issue a public apology.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they probably won't do that. Anyway, all right, we'll be back tomorrow on The Monty Show. Find us on Twitter, MONTY, The Monty Show on Twitter. Say goodnight, Jake.
Goodnight, Jake.